We have been working through the Gospel of John. And in each Gospel, they tell about the story when Jesus comes to Jerusalem and the crowds are waving palms. They tell about it a little bit differently. And when John tells the story just after it, we get a description of whether or not people really do believe. We kind of assume that when people are waving palms, standing in the crowds, that they are ready to follow Jesus. They're full-hearted, faithful believers. And even the Pharisees thought that. They thought, oh, everything is lost because everyone has gone to him. But we find in the scripture that Jesus reveals and knows that there's actually something a little different going on. And so we pick up in John with verse 37. But despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe in him. And this is exactly what Isaiah the prophet had predicted. Lord, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? But the people couldn't believe. Technically, it says the people were not able to believe. For as Isaiah also said, the Lord has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that their eyes cannot see and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and have me heal them. Isaiah was referring to Jesus when he said this, because he saw the future and saw the Messiah's glory. Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God. So Jesus shouted to the crowds, if you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. I will not judge those who hear me but don't obey me, for I have come to save the world and not to judge it. But all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Full of life and the Spirit, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This week I was really excited because there was a new episode of American Ninja Warrior. Now, some of you know that I'm a big American Ninja Warrior fan. You know, we had a Presby Ninja Warrior competition earlier this year. And I was a little disappointed to see it was not the start of the new season. It's just a celebration. But it was really awesome because they had ninjas from all over the world. It was this reminder that this is something that fascinates not just people in our community or our nation. It's not just an American thing. It's a global fascination that people all over the world, it started in Japan, and in each country, people love to go out there and have a new challenge, something new and some big new victory to achieve. And whether you're American or Swedish or Venezuelan, you love to watch these people try these obstacle courses that seem impossible. And we love to see people do these amazing, impossible things. But we're also fascinated when they fall. And I think there's this incredible fascination with failure as we see these people give it their all and then they drop. I always hate it when the reporters ask these people who are, they're doing this incredibly amazing thing, and they just happen to fall, and the reporter asks, so what do you think went wrong? And they're like, it just happened. You know, it's difficult. but we find ourselves watching these replays over and over, not just in ninja warrior, but in basketball, in football, in all of these different sporting events. We watch the replays, and we watch for, what did they do wrong? You know, why couldn't that person, he or she, see that this is coming? Didn't they understand the ramifications of their actions? Didn't they know how it was going to play out? And we play the scenarios of how he could have avoided the disgraceful end. What else could she have done? If she only saved her energy here, or if only we had that one other player, then this could have happened. The same fascination with failure and replaying pulls us into the spectacle of the lead. First, we see this happen to Jesus. At the beginning of the week, everyone is on his side. It looks like he can't lose. Everyone wants to be close to him, but by the end, no one wants to be seen with him. He's terribly beaten. He is abused physically and verbally by people of power, and even by the scum of the earth. And while he is failing miserably, his disciples are going down too. They keep tripping over their own feet, running away, or betraying Jesus for their own gain. As we read the accounts on Good Friday, we see all of their hopes and dreams scattered on the ground like broken palm leaves. The brokenness reminding them of the glorious moments while they were stuck in the miserable moments, the darkness. They have to wait it out through the holy silent Sabbath. And then on the very next day, they are greeted by their risen Lord with joy. That's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to that joy, that moment of joy. I've always loved that at the end of the Good Friday service, we leave in silence. It's this memory, it's this replay of the silence that they heard after Jesus' death on the cross. On that Sunday when Jesus shouted out of the crowds, he said, believe in me and you believe in the God of your ancestors. When you see me, you see your God. And he wasn't shouting at them with frustration or disgust because he knew what they were really up to. He really knew what was in their hearts. He was shouting with abundant love. He was shouting so that anyone who had ears could hear. Like the wild sower, maybe you know the parable of the sower who is very wild and doesn't just throw the seed exactly in a line in the most fertile soil. No, this wild sower, God, throws the seed and plants seeds everywhere, so that everyone can hear. Jesus speaks to even the most reckless and undeserving in the bunch. Jesus says, I don't judge you who do not believe, because I didn't come to be your judge. I came to be your shepherd. I came to love you, to feed you, to tend to your needs, and lay down my life to protect you. Jesus died for the believers and the non-believers. We are not relying on our worthiness when we come before the judgment throne. We are relying on God's mercy, on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Jesus left his disciples with a lifetime worth of instructions of how to do everything just right and follow in his footsteps. And he didn't ask them to follow each way as if to pick the right fruit and earn eternal life. He asks us to believe in him by setting out on a journey, taking one step at a time, taking these steps to build his kingdom, an experience which has failure and victories and joy. fostering community in the way he taught his disciples to love even the ones who are the hardest to love. Palm Sunday has always been a strange day for me to preach, I think, because I feel like there's a strange irony behind all of our traditions. We start off by celebrating and remembering and practicing doing the things that the people who betrayed Jesus did. You know, these people who were waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna, those are the same people who would shout crucify. And it always seems ironic to me that we would want to do something that they did, to practice what they did, as if it's something that would draw us closer to Jesus. But I think the beauty of this tradition is recognizing that this story that we tell this week is also our story. This happens to each of us. We turn away from God. We abandon those who are in need. We are the ones who make mistakes and fail, just like the disciples did, just like those crowds on that day who waved the palms, they would fail too. And Jesus still died for them. Jesus rose from the dead for them. Jesus stays by our side, shines a light for us when we are lost. Whether or not we can do things perfectly, Jesus helps us extend the gap that when we don't measure up, Jesus steps in. I like these palm frond crosses, because they're a beautiful reminder. It's, you know, made from the dried up palm and folded into the shape of a cross. And I can almost imagine a shepherd boy sitting, watching the crucifixion from far away and seeing the palm fronds laying on the as if he picked it up and started twisting, folding up this way and that, and eventually ending up with a cross. He remembers that Jesus came. And people laid down the palms. And he remembered that these same people are watching him. Watching for what he's going to do next. Jesus told his disciples the truth that later in the Gospel of John, he tells them that they will go through this time of the silent Sabbath. This time where it seems like Jesus is gone, as if God's plan has failed, as if everything they were counting on is scattered out in front of them. And Jesus says, hope and joy comes after that time of suffering. That after this failure, Jesus has this excitement for the victory that is to come. Jesus has already overcome the world, he says. I wonder what victory Jesus has in store for you. When Jesus sees us fail, he doesn't see the embarrassment and the pain that we experience. He sees the hope of a new tomorrow, the opportunity for a second chance, the opportunity for a new life, and that victory that he has planned. So, as you take home these palm fronds, and as we raise our palms, let us remember the victory that Christ has in store for us. That even when we experience shame, when we experience failure, that Christ is calling us toward that victory. Let us come to Jesus. Let us pray. Jesus, we offer up to you these embarrassing moments in our lives. Just as the disciples must have said at your crucifixion, what else could he have done? What more? Why didn't he see this coming? Couldn't we have avoided this? Couldn't we have avoided the cross? Couldn't we have avoided this difficult situation in our lives? Lord, we offer up those difficult situations to you. We pray that you would strengthen us, you would hold your light before us, that we might see your face, we might see your activity in our world, we might see you present and helping us along the way, picking us up and leading us forward. As a crowd, they saw Jesus' kingdom coming, and the kingdom looks a little bit different. It looks like people come together, loving each other just in the way they are. So let's stand as we prepare to go out into the world, carrying that kingdom out to the world. Let's sing, Build Your Kingdom.